UK Health Radio. My name's Robin Daly, host for the show and founder of Yes to Life, the UK charity helping people with cancer to understand and capitalise on the benefits of integrative medicine, a holistic approach to health and well-being. As many of you will know, on the 24th of September, Yes to Life is holding a conference investigating a particular facet of the experience of those with cancer entitled Finding a Deeper Connection. The purpose of the event is to explore the opportunities inherent in the immense challenges of cancer, in search of answers to some of the hardest questions in life, with the aim of changing direction in truly meaningful ways that have the potential to completely transform the experience of cancer and of life itself. To develop this event, I've been working for many months with Liz Butler, whose interest is centred on this area and who describes herself as an energy therapist and spiritual coach. In today's show, I'm speaking to Liz over the internet at her home in the West Country, discussing the thinking behind the conference and the territory it aims to cover. Liz, a big welcome back to the Yes Life Show.
Hi, Robin. Thanks for inviting me, and it's really good to be here.
It's been a little while, I think.
Yeah, it has.
So, right. So I want to start out by just introducing our listeners to a bit of a radical change of direction that's been happening, I think, slowly in your life, but it might be a bit sudden for some other people. You're very well known for your work in nutritional therapy, having been such a key figure for a long time. But actually, you're now describing yourself as an energy therapist and spiritual coach. So, you know, this might sound a lot different to some people. So do you want to talk about how this journey has been made, why you've taken this kind of direction, and what your work encapsulates now?
Okay, sure. So, yes, I've been working as a therapist, focused mainly on nutrition for the last 22 years, something like that. And most of that work has been working with people with cancer. And nutritional therapy was my original training as a therapist. And for a long time, I really enjoyed that. And it was very fulfilling. And I'm still passionate about the benefits of nutrition and healthy eating. But I did feel really from the early days that a lot of people were needing not only nutritional and lifestyle support, but they were they needed something deeper. And I've always had a big interest in the spiritual aspect of life and also emotional well-being. And often when I was talking to my clients, I found that we were veering in that direction. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't qualified at that time in counseling or anything like that, but I found myself, as I was talking to them about diet and lifestyle, talking about how they were feeling and what was going on for them on a deeper level. As I say, I've always been really passionate about those aspects of life, and that's one of the reasons that I found the cancer work so inspiring to me, because a lot of people were obviously facing a serious diagnosis. Some people were facing a terminal diagnosis, and that will obviously bring up big questions for people. And often people will look quite deeply at their lives and what's the meaning of life, what's the purpose of life. And I was interested in having some of those discussions when people wanted to. So I found this area really fascinating. And moving forward quite a few years, I realized that often the nutritional side of things was very beneficial for people, but it stopped short sometimes of giving people what they really needed. And sometimes even people will get very caught up in what they should eat and get very rigid with some of these things. And I found sometimes that had a negative impact on their emotional health. So all of these aspects pushed me more and more towards looking at how I could support people more on the emotional side and even the spiritual side. And so a few years ago, well, probably about 7 or 8 years ago, I decided that I wanted to do some more training in that aspect of things. And I started by doing some training with the HeartMath Institute in America. They're a research organization. They also provide guidance for practitioners, but also lay people on how to connect with a deeper part of our being. And they provide tools and techniques, breathing techniques, meditation techniques. They have, as their name suggests, a particular focus on the heart, the energetic heart. And so I did my training with them. I became fascinated by the heart, something I can talk more about later, and have done a lot of research since. And I started working with my clients on this deeper level, helping them to connect with the deeper part of themselves through breath work meditation. I then did some more training in energy therapies, including emotional freedom techniques. Some people know of that as the tapping, and also something called matrix reimprinting. And a lot of that work is around helping people to clear energy blockages that they may have in their system related to challenges and traumas that they've experienced earlier in their life. And we know that when people are carrying a lot of emotional weight from challenges and traumas, that can have an impact on their physical well-being. And so, what I have noticed is that when people address any emotional imbalances, and even when they address their spiritual connection with life, that improves their physical well-being. And so, the whole thing comes together very neatly. And I've always felt that health is about a very holistic package where you're looking not just at the physical body, but also the mind, the way we think, and our emotions, and also the spirit. So now I could see all of this connecting up, and it really seemed to make sense for a lot of people. So that's
Wow.
a description really of how I've got to where I am now. And I'm still from time to time giving people advice on diet and lifestyle, but I feel there's many people doing that sort of work, and there's more people now doing the mind aspect of things. There's lots of discussions out there around how we think and our beliefs, how important that is for physical well-being. And so my interest has really moved towards the spiritual side of things, where there's perhaps not so many people out there supporting people on spiritual connection and how that impacts on physical well-being. So that's really how I've found myself in that arena now.
Right. Well, I think you're right about that. That's very interesting. And yes, it sounds like it was quite a journey getting from one to the other. Well, I mean, anyone who's listened to you on this show before will know that we also tended to veer in the sort of direction in our talks. And yeah, because it interests me greatly as well. And I wanted to let everybody know that this is actually, if you like, was the kind of birth of the idea for the event that we've been developing together, which is our autumn conference for Yes to Life, which is called Finding a Deeper Connection. So it's really focusing right in on the territory that you're getting excited about and that I'm very keen to investigate further as well. And yeah, that we both think is incredibly important to people who are faced with the challenges of cancer. So we've entitled it Finding a Deeper Connection. So I thought right at the beginning we ought to be very clear about what we're talking about here because, you know, when you use words like spiritual or whatever, there's all sorts of ideas around those that immediately come up for people, not the same ones for all people who have different ideas. And so it could be a bit confusing, and it'd be very good to set out being very clear what we're talking about. So, do you want to give some ideas on what you mean by deep connection?
Yes, I think it is really important, like you say, to clarify around that because, I mean, like you say, when we talk about spiritual, a lot of people think that we're talking about religion, and that's not necessarily the case. It will be for some people, but certainly not everyone. The way I think about it is when we talk about deep connection, we're talking about connection to a benign force that we perceive to lie beyond our physical bodies and even beyond our mind. Now, I would call this spirit, and a lot of people would, but we don't have to. I think we can also think of it as life force, because this force that I'm talking about is the driving force of all life, of all nature. And it might sound like it's quite an esoteric concept, but there is science now showing that there is this force in the universe, and scientists can't quite explain it yet, but and some would refer to it as life force, some would refer to it as consciousness, but it does appear to be the ground of our being. It seems to be the sort of most basic fundamental force in our universe, and it's from there that matter and our physical reality emerges. So these are quite big concepts, but there is science to support them. And one of the speakers that I'll talk about later, his research is around this. And so it's great that in our conference we can have a scientist that can talk about some of these issues.
Very much so.
But just going back to us as individuals and how we perceive this benign force, I think that many of us, maybe even most of us, have had experiences, spiritual experiences in our life, from little things, perhaps, or smaller things of perhaps when you're out in nature, you just suddenly get filled with the wonder of nature. Or perhaps when we're with a young child or an animal, a beloved animal, and we just are filled with love and joy. I would call those spiritual experiences, and I think, we've pretty much all had those types of experiences. And then there are maybe on the other end of the scale, more major or profound spiritual experiences that can be called awakening experiences when people have sometimes a very powerful connection to spirit, to the point sometimes that people feel that their individual physical self has sort of merged with greater consciousness. And these are very deep and profound experiences that, although they may not l last too long in the moment, they affect people deeply for the rest of their lives. And there's a lot of documentation of these types of experiences and research that shows that these happen and they're more common than probably we would all imagine. So I think spirit and deep connection is something that's real for all of us, maybe on different scales. And I think when you talk to most people, they sort of get what you're talking about. And as I say, for some people, it is about religion, but it absolutely doesn't have to be. We don't have to believe in God to believe in the force that drives nature. If you don't have a religious faith, it doesn't mean that you're in some way excluded from these experiences, not at all.
Very good. Well, that's nice to be clear about that because, it's a very inclusive thing. It's all about people, nothing more.
Absolutely.
Nothing more than people. You just have to be a person to
Yes.
be interested in this.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things. Make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Very good. I'm very excited about that. What you were saying about the science developing, because of course, you know, you and I can remember a time when the idea, like for instance, that nutrition had anything to do with mental health was just like, you know, complete nonsense. You know, it's just like somebody off their trolley, unsubstantiated. But of course, it's turned out to be true, and the science is building and building and building for that, as in many other areas. And, you know, these things that are not obvious connections to everybody gradually become so. But it takes a kind of a change in culture for this to be embraced as to be a normal thing that we know.
Yes.
So I think we're at the edge of this happening in this field. I think it's going to go from being something which is the preserve of some very esoteric sort of cults on a mountaintop somewhere, to being, you know, to the general realization that actually this kind of thing is important and accessible to anybody, but never more so than when they're in deep difficulty, as people are when they're dealing with cancer. So very excited that the science is building to actually back that up, because of course that's a big promoter of general adoption of a new idea.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. So we're talking, you know, you've homed it down to just this one area that you're particularly interested in. It sort of, but naturally it spreads across, right the way across the mind and into the physical, the psychological and emotional. There, you know, we're not separate bits. We're just one person, and all we embrace all these things. But I wonder if you just explore a bit more about exactly the piece you're interested in and how it relates to the rest of us.
Okay, I'm just going to say something related to what you said just there about science and where we're going with science, because I think that's really relevant. And again, I'm going to give his name now, because it's important. But Steve Taylor is our keynote speaker at the conference, and one of his recent books, I think it was published in 2018, is called Spiritual Science. And his work, is a professor at Leeds Beckett University in psychology, but his work is really looking at the overlap between psychology and the mind and spiritual aspects. But in his book Spiritual Science, he talks about how science is moving forward and moving gradually away from this materialist science. So just going a bit back in history, around the time of the Enlightenment, everything came about logic and reasoning, and you know, we felt that we'd made huge strides forward in really understanding how life worked. And at that point, scientists believed that everything was about the material and the physical, and that actually as time moved on, it became even more this way. Actually, there was nothing other than material and physical, and consciousness, which no one can deny exists. But materialist science believes that consciousness is just a product, a byproduct of our brain's function. So when our neurons are firing, consciousness somehow emerges out of that. And there are still probably the majority of scientists take that approach to how the world works. It's all about the material, but that approach doesn't explain so many things, and this is what Steve talks about in his book. And so he puts across the argument that material science is very limited, and it doesn't explain many things. I mean, all sorts of things, such as psychic experiences and near-death experiences. And I mean, the list goes on and on. There's so much that can't be explained by this. And so many scientists now are looking at a much different approach that incorporates spirit and this idea that consciousness is not a result of physical and matter. The consciousness actually comes first. It precedes matter. It's as I said earlier, the ground of our being. It underlies matter, and matter emerges from consciousness or spirit. And this is not a new idea. This is, you know, before the Enlightenment, that's how people thought for thousands of years. Something shifted, and a lot of people talk about René Descartes as being one of the key scientists around that time. And then we had Newtonian physics that sort of pushed us in that materialist direction. But if you go back to older times and right back to ancient times, we always felt and believed that consciousness and spirit was the basis of everything. And so it's quite new that we've moved away from that. But it seems that we're now backtracking, coming round full circle back to what we used to believe in older times, because that's the only way that really explains so many of these anomalies. Mm. So I've gone off track slightly from your question.
That's all right. Well, don't worry about that. I think we should just press on. That's the answer to the question before.
Yes.
So that's absolutely fine. So, yes, well, I find it really interesting. I just think a lot of kind of 20th and 21st century physics is getting more and more esoteric. It seems more and more like stuff that, you just can't explain with the usual rational parameters.
Absolutely. I mean, what happened was the peak of materialism was really at the end of the 19th century.
Yes.
And that's when really everything changed with the birth of quantum physics. And quantum physics has expanded our understanding of the world hugely. I mean, there's never been such a leap in terms of how science explains things. And there's still many gaps, obviously, and many quantum physicists still can't get their head around what the science is showing them. It's just so mind-bending. But that is opening our minds now and giving the scientific basis to what our ancestors, even, you know, our ancient ancestors have always been telling us, what the what the philosophers of the past and the mystics of the past have always been telling us. Suddenly we now have the science that's beginning to explain this. And so from the 20th century onwards, we've been in a whole new era. And that's why we're having to question the whole materialist science, because it just doesn't work anymore. We've now got this new science, and quantum physics is the most accurate science that's ever been in existence, so we can't ignore it. So yeah, it's a very amazing, exciting time in science, and I think the next few decades and centuries are going to be very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay, well, look, there could be some people who are sitting out there who've got cancer, who've got loved ones with cancer, whatever it is, thinking to themselves, well, this is all very interesting, but what's this got to do with me? So can we just now make the connection directly between people who are in that situation, our regular audience here, and the material that you've been speaking about?
Yes, absolutely. It's so important that rather than going off into all these quantum physics and all the rest of it, how does this apply to us as individuals? And it applies so deeply, and it's so relevant. And for people who are dealing with physical illness, whether that's cancer or anything, then it's highly relevant to address the deeper aspect of ourselves and look at spiritual connection. And there is research on this as well. I would say that about 80% of the research looking at spiritual connection and religious faith is looking at mental health and the benefits for mental health. And there's lots of benefits that have been shown. So people that have a faith in a benevolent force or God or whatever you want to call it, they have less stress. They have less anxiety and depression and other mental health problems. And we know that stress and anxiety and depression have a very powerful impact on our physiology. So stress increases oxidation, it increases inflammation in the body, it does damage to our genetic makeup, it disrupts our hormones, and it has a very powerful impact on our immune system. So if there's something out there that can reduce our stress and improve our emotional health, then that is going to have a very profound effect on our physiology, which it does. So for example, studies on meditation show that it reduces stress, improves emotional well-being. It has a neuroprotective effect and helps prevent neurodegeneration. It has benefits for the immune system, for the cardiovascular system. So there's a real benefit to physical health when we reduce our stress through any of the spiritual practices that could be meditation, could be breath work, could be journaling, could be prayer. The list goes on. But there's growing research that can have a very positive impact on physical health and possibly may enhance recovery from illness. And there are studies that look particularly at cancer. A growing body of research shows that many, possibly even the majority of patients with cancer report having spiritual beliefs and engaging in spiritual practices like breathwork and meditation, and that they get great comfort from this because it's not just about the physical, but research shows that these type of practices improve quality of life and emotional well-being. So yes, there is research. There needs to be more. I think that it is an area that's been sort of left behind a little bit, and that's one of the reasons we wanted to do this conference, to raise awareness of why spiritual connection is so important. And I think the reason it's got left behind is, well, many reasons, but first of all, there is still a lot of scientists that adhere to the materialist view of life, but those that perhaps are intrigued may be put off by the idea that it's quite difficult to study some of these things because, you know, spiritual connection is different for all of us. And so that can, you know, the way we view a spiritual connection is different for all of us. It's quite personal and individual, which means that's quite difficult to measure in some ways. So there are complications around doing this type of research. So I think it has got left behind, but I think that's beginning to change. And I'm really pleased that is happening, because I think it's such a key part of physical health, maintenance, and also recovery from illness.
Absolutely. It feels like there's this movement to embrace whole people bit by bit that's been going on, where mental health has become something we can talk about. I mean, actually, even physical illness was something that was very personal, kept under wraps at one time. But, you know, we're able to express much more readily now, thanks to many people who've worked very hard in this area, that, you know, mental difficulties and things is kind of part of being a human being. And I think, and hope that this is going to apply to this area too, that we're going to be able to embrace it much more broadly and speak about it and find out more about it. So I think it's very exciting.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Good. It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
That you alluded to earlier about how we remember when nutrition wasn't that well accepted.
Yes.
I mean, I certainly do. Going back 20 years, I mean, the idea that how you ate could even, I mean, you said earlier about affecting mental health, but even a lot of people, doctors and other practitioners, were quite close to the idea that how you ate could affect even your physical well-being.
I know, it's extraordinary to look at back at that now, isn't it?
Amazing.
I mean, it's just like,
yeah,
where's common sense in that? But
absolutely. Things have moved on greatly, and now, as you're saying, you're absolutely right, there's a lot more awareness now about how our thoughts, our beliefs, our attitudes and our emotions affect us on a physical level. And there's a lot of, particularly since the pandemic, there's been a lot of focus on mental health. Yes. And that's amazing. I want to say just quickly that there is, of course, a very strong relationship between spiritual and deep connection and mental well-being. As I said earlier, Steve Taylor, that's where his work looks at the overlap between those things. But they're not quite the same thing, because mental health, psychological health, is dealing with issues of the mind, our mind that houses our thoughts and our beliefs and the emotions that relate to that. But spiritual connection lies beyond the physical and even beyond the mind. And actually, if we want to enhance our connection, our deep connection, then it's actually beneficial for us to quieten the mind, because, you know, we often have thoughts going round and round and round in our heads, and especially when we're under stress, there's a lot of mental chatter going on. And it's actually when we quieten that down and we go into that more meditative state that we are more able to have awareness of spirit and that deeper connection. And we may still get a sense of the spiritual connection through our thoughts and our emotions, because, as I say, there's a strong connection. But we also get a sense of that connection in other ways. And one of the key ways would be through our intuition. So this is where we get sudden insights or sudden shifts in our awareness that doesn't come to us through our thoughts. It comes a different way. And so this is another area that's really, really interesting and really taps right into that deeper connection, this idea of intuition, which is also being studied in the research as well.
Yes, another good topic. Anyway, it's too much to talk about, of course. Not to worry. Look, I'm going to want to get on to talk about the event, because I want people to know a bit about what's happening. Just before we do, though, there's one other important thing I want to ask about. You've spoken a lot about the benefits that these things can bring. Now, there's one thing that's connected with this area, which is more than a benefit, really. It's more than an improvement. And Steve has done a lot of work on looking at it. And that's what you've referred to earlier as an awakening, which is actually a kind of transformative experience. And this is the thing that not uncommonly leads people to say, to me at least, oh, cancer's the best thing that ever happened to me. And this is the area where, if you like, there's the biggest nugget of benefit to be had here, potentially for somebody who's in a situation facing cancer. Do you want to say a little about the potential for transformation?
Yes, definitely. This is a really important topic. And I think it's about the idea that the most challenging things in our life, and they can obviously range from all sorts of things, losing a loved one, losing a job, losing our home, and obviously being diagnosed with a serious illness. These big challenges in our life can obviously feel hugely overwhelming and devastating. But it is possible for us to shift with support sometimes, but to shift our thinking around these big challenges and start to see them as opportunities for us to grow and develop and connect to the deeper meaning of life. And that is one of the sessions we are going to have at the conference, is how we can move from a place of devastation into seeing something as an opportunity and just opening our mind a little bit to the possibility that something may have opportunities within it. It doesn't take away from the difficulty of such a situation,
but just a very important point.
Yeah, just opening our mind a little bit to the idea that there could be something in this. I often use the word the treasure that's within this painful experience, because in my experience and working with clients around this, there's always some treasure to be found. And if we just open to that possibility, then that brings a shift in our awareness. And we're able to move towards that. I'm not saying it's easy. You know, we'll talk about acceptance as well during the conference, and there's a lot of talk about that, and a lot of psychologists are talking about the benefits of acceptance now. But you know, it's not an easy thing, and I've had people say to me, well, how on earth can I accept what's happened? It's just so awful. And I absolutely understand that people can feel, how on earth can this happen? But it takes time sometimes, and it's just little steps and just opening gradually. But I think that many people, like you've said, when they're able to shift into this space of greater acceptance, then they start to see things differently, as I said, and start to realize more and more that what's happened to them is actually been an amazing catalyst to bring them to new understandings and new awareness, and that leads to really profound changes in their life, and sometimes they can then look back and say, wow, if that hadn't happened, I wouldn't be the person I am today, and I wouldn't be living this richer, more fulfilling life. So that does happen very often, like you say, and I think it's something that can give people hope.
Yeah, I think it's well worth remembering that human nature is that we don't change without a crisis, unless we're an extremely rare human being, I think. That's my experience in myself and in people I see. It takes a crisis always to bring us to the point where we say, okay, it's time for change.
Absolutely. You're so right with that. And that really is the purpose of stress in our lives, or all different types of stress. You know, if you look at the physical body, when we stress it with pushing our body, maybe doing exercise mm-hmm. or whatever, that encourages the muscles to grow, and it encourages our body to develop and grow. And it's the same on the psychological and the spiritual level. When we're pushed to the edge, we can expand and grow and learn and open to new things. So that is why we face challenges in life. I believe, and so it's essential that we open our mind to that.
Okay, on to the actual conference now. Do you want to say a bit about who's going to be speaking and what people can expect if they come?
Yes, absolutely. I am really excited, and I know you are, because we have got some amazing speakers. I think they cover a broad range of topics and experiences. So our keynote speaker, I've already mentioned briefly, is Steve Taylor. He is a scientist. He's a senior lecturer in psychology at Leeds Beckett University. But what's amazing about him is, and I know you've interviewed him recently, so you've got direct experience of this, but he's a scientist on one hand, but he's a poet and a musician on the other side. So he's got the whole thing there. He's very left brain, but he's also right brain. And I think that's what we really need from our scientists who are exploring these more esoteric topics, because it does require that we sort of move away from too much of the analysis, or that we don't get stuck in that, and that we sort of move beyond that and take a holistic view. And so he's someone that is really able to do that. And he's become quite well known because he's written, I think it's 13 books on a range of topics, from spiritual awakenings, like you say, and how trauma leads to transformation, something we've just talked about. His book I mentioned, Spiritual Science, really looks at how science has evolved, particularly recently. So he's written some brilliant books. He's also written many academic papers, and he's featured in the media as well. And he's going to be talking about his topic, which is what his new book is about, and it's called Extraordinary Awakenings. And he's going to be talking about just what we were mentioning there, which is how when we experience some sort of challenge or trauma, that can lead us to see life differently. And he calls this transformation through turmoil. He says that it brings, you know, very often a dramatic shift in the way we look at the world, and can lead to us having that deeper connection that we're talking about. So he'll be bringing in his science knowledge, but also his own experiences. He's had some awakening experiences himself. He'll look at it from a very logical side of things, but he, as I say, he's a poet as well, and he's going to read some poetry in his session, and he's going to take people through an actual exercise on acceptance. So I think his session will be really rich. And something we wanted to do with this conference, which we both felt was really important, you and I, is that we give people information, but we also give them an experience. And so included in the day are workshops where people can go off and they'll have a chance to do two workshops with different session leaders, so that they actually get an experience of how it feels to connect on a deeper level. Let me just quickly talk about those while I'm on that subject. But so we've got four different workshops running, and one of them is being run by Gavin Andrews, who is from the HeartMath Institute that I mentioned earlier. That's what I've done my training in. And so he's going to look at some techniques that allow our systems to become what's called coherent, where our spirit, our mind and our body align. And this is very relaxing for the body, but it's very healing for the body, and it helps us tune into that intuition that I talked about earlier. So that's that session. And then we've got Kirsty Simpson, who is a dance therapist. She's going to be doing one of our presentations, but she's also running a workshop. And so this will be around movement therapy and how the power of music and rhythmic movement can connect us on a deeper level. So that will be a lovely experience for those that do that workshop. Then we've got two ladies, Sarah Johns and Elif Clark, who are breath workers, and they do something called transformational breath work, which is a form of conscious breathing. And it allows people to tap into deeper parts of ourselves. It allows us to tap into emotions that perhaps have been pushed down for a lot of our lives. And by doing this sort of breathing, it helps us to release a lot of trauma and pain that we've perhaps been holding on to. So that will be another amazing workshop. And then finally, we've got a lady called Aga Kahind. I'm not sure if that's how I pronounce her name, but she's going to be talking about emotional freedom technique, which I mentioned earlier, because that's something I do. This is the tapping. And that's another amazing way to help us release emotional pain and stored negative energies that we've been holding in the body. So there's lots of opportunities for people to experience much of what we're going to talk about. But back to the presentation. So we've got Steve as our keynote speaker, and then we've got lots of inspirational stories throughout the day. And our first session has two wonderful speakers, Petraea King, who's based in, is it Australia?
Yeah.
Yes. She will be coming to us via an online Zoom session, and then Suzanne Ruggles, who will be in person on the day, and she's based in the UK. And both of those speakers have such amazing stories. I'm so excited for people to hear their stories. They've had personal journeys with ill health, and that session is called Accepting Challenges as Opportunities, just what we were talking about before. And they will talk about how in their lives they were able to take really, really difficult situations and turn them around and create amazing opportunities in themselves. I mean, they've transformed their lives in amazing ways. So that's going to be very inspirational. And that's what will kick us off at the beginning of the day. Then we'll have Steve in the afternoon. After the workshops, we'll have Kirsty, who's the dance therapist, talking about her story. She also has a very powerful story that will inspire people. And she'll be talking a bit more about how we surrender and how we let go in these difficult times, and how we trust that there is this benevolent force, and how through little steps we can learn to trust more and more and more, and how transformational that will be. So that will be another great session. And then I'm going to finish the day talking a bit about the heart. So it's going to be, I think, a very rich day, full of hope, full of inspiration, full of amazing stories, full of experiences. We'll also have our our exhibition room, with lots of different organizations showing the work they do around these areas. So I think it's going to be a really, really good day.
Extraordinary day. Yeah, I think it's certainly a first for Yes to Life, and I think it's a first for the UK to have an event that focuses in this way, particularly in this area, but with really focused on people with cancer, though. So that's the thing that's completely novel about it, I think. Mm. So yeah, a roller coaster day, all sorts of amazing stuff, and all backed up with a good dose of science as well.
Absolutely.
So yeah, really amazing. So I'm going to encourage everybody to come. And yeah, if you want to find out more, you go to the Yes to Life website. That's yestolife.org.uk. And right at the top of the homepage, there's a revolving banner. And one of the picks that comes around is promoting the conference, and will take you straight to the site where you can read more about it and actually book your tickets, which are on early bird offer at the moment. So really looking forward to this event. It's been a long build up. We thought about this before the pandemic.
Yes. It?
And yeah, so it's been a while coming, but I really feel that this is its moment. It's the right time for it. The pandemic has, funnily enough, pushed everything in the direction of this being more of interest to more people than ever before.
Yes.
So I hope it's going to be, you know, totally oversubscribed. And I'm sure it's going to be a really helpful and useful and supportive day for anybody who attends.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, look, we're going to leave it there. Thank you very much indeed, Liz. Really great to hear from you and to hear
all
your thinking on this. I mean, you've got a quite unique perspective. I was thinking about, because you've come from the end where you started on the physical and the biochemical and all the rest of it, you can actually look at the effects of this right the way across the board and speak just as well about what it does to your biochemistry as you can about what it does to your mind or emotion. So, fascinating.
Thank you. I you know, I guess a bit like Steve, I've had the science background. That was my, you know, I did a couple of science degrees, but since a young child, I've had a very deep interest in the spiritual, and I've had, you know, these sort of awakening experiences myself. And so I think I'm bringing the two together now. And I'm just so excited that science is opening to these aspects of life. And I think, it's exciting times.
It's got to be good. It's got to be good for people.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much indeed, Liz.
A pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
I hope our chat's given you some insights into the material that our conference will be addressing. Once again, it's on the 24th of September. It's an in-person event in central London, and you can read about the speakers and all aspects of the event on the dedicated conference website. And you can find the website by going to the Yes to Life website, which you'll find at yestolife.org.uk, and then clicking the button on the revolving banner right at the top of the homepage when the advert for the conference comes around. Thanks a lot for listening today. Next week, I'll be featuring one of the many fascinating speakers who will be featuring in the conference, so please do make a point of joining me again for another Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye. Thank you.